Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Secret Artists Podcast, the podcast where funny people do art and have a chat. What's not to like? Something for everyone if you like those two specific things. My name's Annie McGrath, I'm your host, and I'm joined this week by one of my favourite comedians, Celia A.B. She is a lovely gal, such a good joke writer and such a good illustrator. So we had a very nice time drinking coffee and drawing. Hope you enjoy the episode. And remember, if you want to see our artworks from this week, follow us on social media at Secret Art Pod. See you on the other side.
I saw a glimpse of your teeth at Muff Club and then went home and the image flashed behind my eyes.
Is that all we're going to draw today?
Yeah, I wish it was. We can swap it.
Maybe. Let's see what your options are. I have a question about your name, actually, because I always say Celia, but I was told by... I know you say Celia.
Yes.
Is it Celia?
Yes. There is a bit of background to this.
Oh, great.
I can say it on the pod if you want.
Yeah, perfect.
Because I get that question a lot. Mm. And oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. That's a Degas print. Mm. I think it's very faded, though. That's why it's gone sort of bluey colour.
I actually quite like it very blue like that.
Yeah. Belonged to my mum's ex-boyfriend.
Oh,
so
drama!
Shout out to him.
Still think of you, Barry. I don't know what his name is.
I won't say his name. It's like Voldemort. Never say his name.
Never say his name. Voldemort.
Yeah.
Try and catch me.
So yes, Celia. Celia.
Celia.
Celia.
It's Celia. But basically, when I first moved to England. I'm very aware I'm holding a penis straw.
Yes, for the listener, Celia asked me if I had a straw, and the only straw that I have is a gold penis-shaped straw.
Yes.
And this is how we got onto the subject of teeth, because are you trying to prevent staining your teeth by using straws?
Yes, and if I can, I always go for a penis straw.
Yeah, I think I should get a photo of you.
Of the penis straw.
It's rare to see someone drink a coffee out of a hot coffee, I will say.
Well,
out
I'm a classy girl.
Yeah, you are. Let's see the balls. Thank you. Gotta favour the balls.
Mm. Always remember the balls, boys and girls.
So what's the... Everyone always asks you about the pronunciation.
My name, yeah.
Is that quite annoying?
I don't mind it, but it's my own fault. Basically, when I first moved to England... Someone told me that I was saying my name wrong.
Oh my God, that's such a British thing.
I said,
British splain your name to you.
I know, and I said, my name is Celia, and you went, no.
It was a man, was it?
Yeah.
That surprises me.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? They never do that.
Yeah.
And then he said, I think you'll find that it's Celia. And then
you're oh, thank you so much.
Yeah. It's like, how can I repay you?
Yeah. What was his name?
I don't know, but in my mind, I think I did a bit of whimsy to it. His name was Michael, I think, or something, and I've been calling him Michelle in my mind as revenge.
Did you say you've been pronouncing your name wrong?
Yeah.
It's actually Mike. Twat.
But I meant that for like maybe 4 or 5 years, I introduced myself as Celia.
I thought when I first met you, you said Celia, but then I've heard you say Celia. And I was like, is that... your accent, is that like the French way of saying it? And there's like, anyway, Celia. I'm going to read you an intro.
Yes.
Celia AB is a fantastic comedian who won the Chortle Best Newcomer Award in 2022. She's done tour support for Maria Bamford and starred in the BBC's New Comedy Award and Funny Festival Live. Her first stand-up show, Swimming, was met with critical acclaim at the Edinburgh Fringe last year and was described by List as a strong debut hour by a comic shooting to fame.
Stop it.
And I'm very excited to have her on the podcast.
I'm so excited to be
Hello,
here.
Hello. I've been loving your drawings online. You've just started putting up illustrations on Twitter and Instagram. That's how I immediately was like, when are you coming on my podcast?
I'm so glad you like them, Annie, because that's... It felt quite vulnerable to put them online.
Yeah, it's different to joke writing, isn't it? It feels more revealing of yourself.
Yeah,
almost.
Absolutely. And I think it's because there's an element of... You've really tried.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
it's not like a quick tweet or it's no. You had paper. You had pencils.
And it's a tangible thing that exists at the end.
Yeah,
not like when you say a joke out loud and you can forget about it. If
exactly.
It bombs.
Yeah, I think that which I often do, and I think there's an element to it where. So I was talking to a friend of mine about how when you're an adult, when you're a kid, you play a lot. So you pick up something, play with it, and then just stop touching it. But you don't think, oh, I've got to be really good at this.
Yeah. You're not sort of worried to fail like we are as adults.
As adults, yeah. And I think there's an element of somewhere around teenage years, you kind of become aware that people judge.
Yeah.
And I think I'm trying to go back to a place of playing as an adult. So like drawing is one of the things that I've been enjoying doing again. I don't have to be the best at this. I can just pick it up and have a bit of fun with it.
Yeah.
And be a bit vulnerable with it. And it's weird to post it online, but there's an element of me that's like, do you know what? I don't want to post pictures of me on holiday. I just want to, I find it really fun to post something different that people don't expect just because I'm having fun with it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
In your Twitter bio, you say you do bad drawings.
Bad drawings,
but
yes.
I don't think that's true. I think that's too self-deprecating.
I think I only post the ones that, obviously it's the, the cream rises to the top.
Yeah.
I only post the ones that I think are not bad, but there's a lot of bad ones.
Great. So today we're going to do some drawing. I've put out some pencils, some charcoal. I don't know how you feel about charcoal.
I don't think I've ever used charcoal, but I'm excited to try it.
And there's some coloured pencils and also this thing that I need to learn the name of. I think it's called like Comte, that's cheese.
Conte,
yeah. That's French, innit?
That's it.
It's like a sort of terracotta-y charcoal, which I like using for sort of shading and stuff.
Yes.
And I've put out a square bit of paper for each of us, but there is a pile of sort of different shapes if you'd rather a bigger piece.
Or, lovely stuff.
So what have you chosen as your muse?
So one of the things that I like doing when I like sit down and draw is I think of a like kind of a surreal joke that I want to see in like visually.
Yeah.
So
okay.
It's often something that is a bit weird that I just want to see pictured. So what I've chosen is, do you know Philippe Petit?
No.
He's a funambulist. Do you know those man on wires that go on high wire walkers?
Yeah. Do you see them attach wires between trees in parks?
Yes.
Those people?
Yes. Yeah. So Philippe Petit is a French, or maybe Belgium, we don't know.
You're allowed to get those mixed up.
Yes, they're the same. And he basically put a wire between the Twin Towers, remember? And walked in between them. And
couldn't do that now.
I know, you couldn't do that. Didn't do that. Why not?
Sorry. No. Bit to update you on.
I haven't been looking at the news.
Yeah. For the last
22 years? Yeah, I actually stopped the day before.
Did you? September the 10th.
September the 10th. I was like, no, more positivity
not for
in
me,
my
actually.
Life.
Well, things have just got better and better since then.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely terrified of heights.
Yeah, me too.
So are you... Have you always been terrified of heights?
I think so. I remember on like... Did you ever do PGL? It was like I don't know if it was just in British schools, but it was like an organised trip that you do aged like 9 and you go to somewhere in the countryside and there's lots of activities like abseiling and trapeze. And I remember walking up the abseiling tower and just seeing the height, which probably wasn't that high, and just being like, I can't do this, and walking back down the tower and feeling like very ashamed.
Oh no, you should have been ashamed. But it's absolutely terrifying.
And, yeah.
I think there's, I mean, I often think of statistics in life of like, well, someone's going to die from this.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be me.
Yeah, it's got to be someone, hasn't
it? It's
got
to be someone. And
I think it's quite normal to be afraid of heights.
Is it?
Yeah. Don't you think?
I don't know. I feel like I only... It's actually quite recently that I realised that at the Fringe when I was... Everyone was going up Arthur's seats and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't do it. And
oh, interesting.
And it's because...
I'm all right with things like that. It's like a gradual incline. It's more like standing on the top of a building and looking down. Oh. I don't love that.
I think you've got bigger balls than I do.
Oh, thank you.
Because your balls are massive.
Yeah, they are, actually.
Taking up the whole studio. but I think that there's a documentary about Philippe Petit mm-hmm. where it talks about the processes of him building up to doing the Twin Tower ones.
Yeah.
And it's him with three friends, and it's a bit of a, like, a heist thing.
Okay.
Because they weren't allowed.
Yeah.
And but it's also so magical. And so that's the first idea, but mm-hmm. the idea for him that I want to do is the wire is a really long spaghetti.
Okay, yeah.
And it's above a pot of pasta that's boiling, so it's kind of going down a bit.
Okay, so it's like hard on one side,
yeah,
and then it's like cooking on the other side.
So it's
melting down. I love that.
Yeah, so it's a bit odd, a bit surreal, but I think... I like the idea of him going, oh no.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Are you happy with that?
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, because I feel like you're very minimal with your lines, which I'm not at all, but I want to get better at doing that sort of drawing.
Well, do you know what? I think it's my favourite artists are not minimal in any way.
Oh, really?
I think it's more of a necessity that I keep it quite... because I don't draw often, so I think I just have to bring it down to what the core of an image is.
Yeah.
But my favourite artists are all over the place.
Yeah.
I think it's... I like a bit of chaos in a...
Yeah, yeah.
In a painting.
But you sort of plot out exactly what... Like, this is quite... Even though it's surreal, you've obviously got, like, a clear image of what it is in your head.
Yes.
So do you always plot that out in your head before starting? You would never start a drawing and be like, oh, I'll see what... What happens with it?
I guess I don't. I think sometimes I...
I'm going to start, by the way.
I'm going to start as well. One thing I do is... I like drawing faces a lot. Like random faces. I'm going to use one of these as a bit of a ruler.
I might look up the image of him on the doing the Twin Towers.
Yes, there's... I mean, if you haven't seen the documentary...
What's it called?
It's called A Man on Wire, and it's a yearly watch for me. And it makes me feel so magical and happy and warm inside.
It sounds great. That's a really good image. So in your head, is the wire... Is this the sort of thing you're thinking, but this wire is spaghetti?
Yeah, and there's a big pot of pasta just cooking in the bottom.
Yeah, that's the jeopardy, that he might fall into the ball...
The
boiling
pasta, yeah. Which, you know, it's not a 0% chance.
No, it's probably quite a high percentage chance.
If I was a man on wire,
yeah,
I mean, I would be worried about that someone's put a pot of pasta at the bottom.
You said he does, like, training in the lead up to this particular... What do you call it? Wire journey? what was his, like, did he sort of scale other buildings?
So it's
what?
Actually very, it's really nice because he had this lovely group of friends that would kind of follow him everywhere into his craziness, which I think is so romantic. You don't often think of friendship as, like, romantic, like the pursuit of, like, following someone to everything they do.
Yeah.
And I think there's something incredibly touching for me in that.
Definitely. And I remember when my friends used to come and watch me do comedy.
But I think there is something to it about the way they talk about him as well is so touching. And there's... generally, I think we don't put enough emphasis on friendship as, like, a big part of life.
Yeah.
And I think there's his friends kind of... believe in him throughout. And one of the things they would act out as well is kind of give him ideas of what could be done.
Oh, wow.
So he did one stunt on Notre Dame,
mm-hmm.
Which is very beautiful, very touching, and his girlfriend in it, her job was kind of, she was down watching him go up in between the Notre Dame and all the towers and all of those tricks and be like, look, there's a man on a wire. And
oh, nice. Like a hype woman.
Yeah, she was a hype woman. I think he did it in London on one of the bridges as well. Not like not walking down the bridge.
Okay.
That wouldn't be very impressive.
Yeah, I can walk down a bridge.
Just doing tricks on tower bridge.
Must be quite stressful being in a relationship with someone who does this for a job, don't you think?
Absolutely terrifying, yes. I can't date comedians anymore because I get stressed seeing them on stage.
Yeah.
And that's me as a stand-up, so I can't imagine seeing the person you love the most.
Yeah, just constantly sort of risking their life.
Yeah. Like, I often think about the... do you know the people who date... UFC fighters and all of these. Like, I think that's terrifying.
Definitely.
Not that they want to date me, to be honest.
That's the only reason you're not dating.
Yeah, I don't think they're actually gunning to to take Celia AB out.
I'm wondering, you know what I might do, which is not in the brief.
Yes.
But I might do like a Lady and the Tramp on either side of the spaghetti. How do you feel about that?
I love this. A
couple of dogs added to this.
Yes, please.
Okay.
This is very much a keep adding as you go. Have you ever done that with someone?
Done what?
The Lady and the Tramp thing.
No. I think the idea of it is probably a lot more romantic than the reality. I find eating spaghetti as a solo artist sort of difficult enough. I like cutting it up. Sorry, I know you're not supposed to do that.
See, I don't mind it. I'm imagining not with scissors.
Not with scissors. I do cut pizza up with scissors.
I enjoy that.
Yeah, it's much easier to get the slices. But
here's my question.
Mm.
Once you've cut it with scissors, do you then run your finger on the scissors to get the cheese and tomato?
Yeah, not on the sharp bit.
Not on the sharp bit.
I wouldn't recommend
And then do you cut other stuff with pizza wheels?
Yeah, cut bread with a pizza wheel. Cut cheese with a bread knife. Very kooky.
The Lady and the Tramp thing is, I've never done it.
No.
You could do it with, I mean, it has to be spaghetti really. Farfalle?
Yeah. Penne?
Penne.
It's a lot shorter distance.
Lasagna?
Before you're at the other person's mouth. Lasagna. One lasagna sheet.
One lasagna sheet. I think that if you had to pick a meal to have whilst on a wire.
It's got to be something that's not, I was going to say not a wrap or a burrito because there's a lot of like stuff that might fall out the other end.
Yes, very wise.
Maybe like a Cornish pasty, which was sort of designed for miners, wasn't it? So
yes.
As in, people down mines, not children. So it's quite easy to eat, like on the hoof.
Yeah.
So, or on the wire.
Julia, I have a question for you.
Mm.
You know a lot about art.
Well,
I think you... Do you know that famous photo of the builders eating their meal on...
That everyone in English universities seem to have on the wall of their halls of residence.
Yes. And like reasonably priced hotels having their bedrooms.
Yeah.
I've heard that it's been faked.
Oh, really?
Yes. Did you hear about that?
No, tell me more.
I heard that it was an ad campaign and it made me very sad.
Oh.
So that's not so much a question as much as a reveal.
Yeah.
I suppose. How does that make you feel?
What was it an ad campaign for? Do we know?
Builders?
Sandwiches? Builders. New York? Was it New York, the skyline?
Yeah, New York skyline. Yeah. Get yourself a builder, I think.
Yeah. If in doubt, get a builder. Moving from France to the UK.
Ooh, what a throwback.
How old were you?
I was 19 years old, just turned 19.
What made you decide to move?
So I guess I've always wanted to live in England, but I was a very adventurous kid or teenager. I was very prudent and very scared of a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I would dream of going to England and doing things, but I always thought, oh, I'd have to plan it for like a couple years before I can do it. And I was also very, very overweight growing up. I was 7 stone heavier than I am now.
Really?
And I lost a lot of weight from age 17 to 18.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of gave me a bit more confidence to, you know, try new things. And,
yeah.
But I also really wanted to study films. I wanted to study film and become a director. And I looked into a school and it was a bit too pricey. So I decided I'm going to take a year off and just kind of decide. But on my 19th birthday, my cousin was dating this guy who's now her husband, whose family had moved to Birmingham. And my 19th birthday present was, I know you want to go to England, so why don't you go there for a couple weeks?
Oh, wow.
And see England.
Were you like, I meant sort of London, but Birmingham was
Well, actually, Bristol was the one that I wanted because I used
Bristol's
to watch...
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, and I used to watch Skins, so I thought...
Ah.
And...
So did you know of... Wasn't Joel Dommett in Skins?
Was he?
Yeah, because he grew up in Birmingham. Sorry, not Birmingham, Bristol.
Who did he play in Skins? Do you know?
I didn't watch it, I don't know.
You didn't watch Skins?
No, sorry.
That's okay. It's,
I watched Home and Away and Friends.
I was talking to someone today, well, not today, yesterday, who said they'd never seen Friends.
Wow.
And I was like, what did you do all these years?
What age were they?
I think they were 30. So, which is like prime, prime Friends age, if you ask me.
Was it a man or a woman?
It was a woman, and I found out by saying, "Do you remember that episode where Phoebe got married in the snow?" And they went, "I don't know what you're talking about."
Oh my god! I think I've seen every episode.
Me too.
Actually, I used to have a Friends poster on my wall.
Did you?
Yeah, the one of them all like about to drink a milkshake or like an ice cream sundae. Do you know that one?
I know exactly that one. I used to have a big crush on. Matt LeBlanc. A lot of the time as well, it used to drive me mad that no one seemed to acknowledge how gorgeous Monica is.
Yeah.
It used to be like everyone was kind of all about Rachel. All about Rachel, and I'd be like, she's a supermodel. And Phoebe as well, being just a really great friend that's always kind of seen as
the
annoying one, but she's the best friend out of the lot, I think.
Do you think?
Yeah, she looks after them really well.
Aww.
Have a lot of time for Phoebe.
Yeah. So you moved to Birmingham age 19, and was the idea that you would just be there temporarily and see what you thought of England, or was it like, this is me moving to England?
It was very much a I'll be back in like 3 weeks sort of thing. And what ended up happening is that I guess a sense of freedom that I got from being away from my family and, you know, I don't come from a very affluent background. So I think that sense of freedom, it was the first time that I went away, first time that I left the country, and it felt really exciting.
Yeah.
And... I think there's an element as well of my my best friend Linda.
Mm.
Her brother was before I left, and when I was still talking about, oh, maybe I'll move to England, said to me, "Oh, you'll never do it. You always talk about it, and you'll never do it."
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. And Linda to this day is still mad at him because she didn't want me to leave.
Yeah.
So she's like, "Oh, damn it." Him challenging you, using exactly what works on you. But then I moved there and got a job. Moved out of the place that I was staying at,
got kicked out, to be honest.
Why did you get kicked out?
Because I think I was, I wasn't really, the family was lovely, but I think it was, we wanted different things.
You and the family.
Me and the family wanted different things. I think in hindsight, they kind of expected me to look after the kids, which I did not really want to do as a 19-year-old who really liked skins.
Yeah.
And then what ended up happening is I kind of got a job doing street fundraising for something that turned out to be a scam.
Oh, no.
Yes. And then fell in love with Birmingham. I know it's really weird to say, but it really reminded me of where I come from, but everyone there was so friendly. And
yeah, they're very friendly. And yeah. It's a fun place. There's loads going on.
Yeah, and it's so different from Paris. And I'm from the outskirts of Paris, so there was really not much going on there.
Mm.
And Paris is very embedded in with class, in that you need to have money to enjoy Paris.
Mm-hmm.
But Birmingham was more vibes.
Yeah. And did you start doing comedy at that age, or what was like, how did you get into doing stand-up?
I had quite a lot of oh my god, I'm really opening up here. I really funny to say I'm opening up and then having a sip of coffee from a dick straw.
Yeah. Really opening up to this penis straw.
Is this Oprah?
Mm-hmm.
I had I had quite a bad social anxiety when I was a teenager.
Mm.
And I've always loved stand-up, but never thought I would do it. But I always used to write jokes for myself. Always used to write little jokes in a notebook. I loved words. I've always loved words.
Mm-hmm.
But I hated school, so I didn't go to uni. And I just loved the mechanics of, like, surprising someone with a joke.
Yeah.
Just with, like, you know, the element, what I liked about it is the element of surprise that you can just do with your brain without anything else. And I think that's really something that I think is very special.
And when you started with your notebook of jokes, were you writing them in French or English?
Yes, French. Yeah. And I would then translate them into English. But very quickly, it became quite clear that the easiest way to do it is to write in English. And then my brain naturally sort of switched.
Yeah, because presumably there's jokes that don't translate.
Yes.
In terms of wordplay and stuff.
Yes, exactly. And there's also like an element of the rhythm. Well, English, I think I've read this somewhere, that English lends itself to comedy better than French, because English goes premise punch, whereas French tends to go the other way. I don't think that's entirely true, but I think there's definitely an element of that. And interestingly, I'm going back to French, to watching a lot of French stand-up only now.
Okay.
Do you mind if I grab one of my little pens from my bag?
No, go for it.
I've got
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever gigged in France? Do you go back and do stand-up?
So that's one of my big big dreams, actually. I would very much like to have a documentary type thing where I go back to France and try stand-up there.
Because
I've done stand-up in French, but just a couple times. So it wasn't... And it was very early on, so it was very new.
Yeah.
And enjoyed it for what it was, but it didn't feel like, you know, it felt very open mic-y, so there's only so much you can enjoy them.
Yeah.
And I think there's... I would love to kind of, once I'm hopefully more established here, I'd love to have a go at trying to have a lovely career in France as well, because it's, you know, I do miss it.
And when you did your set in France, did you write a set in French specifically for that, or were you translating back?
So it wasn't even in France, it was in London both times.
There
used to be French nights, but you know, you don't often get French people at those nights because, you know, there's a lot of Francophiles.
Really?
Yeah, creeps. And I think there's like an element of... Sometimes there's French people that come to my shows and... but they're very much embedded in British culture, so they get that they kind of, if I speak French to them, they kind of almost have that thing of like, no, speak English, like the whole room is English. But I would love to give it a proper go, because, you know, I love the stand-up I've been rewatching is a guy called Pierre Desproges, who's one of my favourite writers and just comedians, who sadly died quite young, but was just amazing with words. And one of my big dreams as well is to... I want to translate French stand-ups to people who don't speak French so they can appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
And French hip-hop and all these things, like...
That's a good idea.
Mm.
Have you got an agent? I suppose you don't have an agent in France yet. Would that be something you'd want?
Yeah, I'd quite like it. And also I think that, you know, in the people that I grew up watching are mostly French. And I think that would be probably the first time I get really starstruck, is if a French comedian that I've admired knew me. I think that would... Because I don't have any emotional attachment, for example, to Jimmy Carr. So,
What?
And I know everyone here has a poster of Jimmy Carr above their bedroom.
Yeah, mine's next to my friend's poster. Did you watch that show that Jimmy Carr did on destroying art?
No. Was it good? And what's the concept?
It was quite interesting. It was... I guess the concept is like, can you separate the art from the artist? And they would have a real, like a Picasso painting or a Hitler painting. And it was people who did art who obviously have something to be cancelled for.
Yeah, I think Hitler's cancellation is coming.
Yes. So, and then the audience, it's like a live audience, and they vote should the artwork be destroyed, and they have like an art historian explaining like the significance of the artwork and why potentially it's better to keep it as like a way of remembering the awful historical things, or whether we should just destroy work and not, you know, have...
Any significant, not have any bad people in art.
But
I think that's an interesting debate. What do you think about it?
I sort of think I don't really believe in destroying art. I think there's ways of not celebrating artists who have done bad things, like having statues of people up who were slave owners. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I think there's a place for them in museums.
Yes, I think there's I would have to say I agree.
Yeah,
I think there's it's an interesting thing in art, and I guess generally entertainment even, which is that we know who the bad people are. Everyone knows who the bad people are, right?
Yeah.
But I often think of people in office jobs who might have a boss who has done really heinous things, and you'd never know, because they can just change companies. Do you know what I mean? So they can just...
That's true.
Move from one job to another. And I think there's an element of like, you know, if you destroy Hitler's art, for example, you're not necessarily destroying, you're not destroying the Holocaust.
Yeah.
So I think there's something, and also it's not great art.
Yeah, he didn't get into art college, yeah, famously.
I think
he sat outside and pretended he was going there every day.
Really?
Which is psychopathic, but not the most psychopathic thing he's done.
But it's interesting because, okay, if it was like a someone that ended up being a successful artist, that story would be quite endearing.
Yeah, it's true, actually.
It's, you know,
we the sort of lovable underdog.
Yeah.
I don't think we can give Hitler that nickname.
No, no. No matter how much you try, Annie.
Yeah.
In every other podcast that you do.
Do you have the rubber there?
I do.
Could I use it quickly?
Of course. Oh, I love what you've done so far.
Oh, thanks. It's,
Mine is very messy, actually.
I've done the Lady and the Tramp sitting at the table with the, but it's strange that they sort of haven't served the pasta out, they're eating it out of a boiling hot saucepan, and then there's a man on walking along.
One thing I really like is adding text to drawings.
Oh yeah, have you got an idea of what you're going to add?
I've already done it.
Have you?
Do you want it now?
Yeah, and can you give me some inspiration?
I've just wrote, uh-oh.
Oh, that's good. There you go.
Thank you.
What should I write? Maybe something about Lady and the Tramp, yes. Something about spaghetti.
Lady and the Tramp. Lady and the...
Something about it being a bit al dente.
There's something on my food. Is there something on your food?
Oh, waiter. There's a man in my spaghetti. My French teacher at school always loved telling us when we were learning about like food and drink, talking about jam. Her favourite thing was like, remember, préservative, because préservative is a condom. Or is it the other way around?
Préservatif is a condom.
Yes.
And préservative is...
like a condiment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean...
We all had a laugh about that.
Did you like your French teacher?
Yeah, I did. She was nice.
Was your French teacher hot?
For me, no, because I think she was a woman sort of in her 60s, and that's not what I was looking for, age 16.
Strangely.
But was your French... I guess all of your teachers were French teachers.
Well, you would think so. There's I had my English teacher when I was... I think it was 16, 17, the last few years of high school. She was Irish and she was from Cork.
Oh, my mum's from Cork.
No way.
Yeah.
I love Ireland. I mean, my favourite people are Irish.
That's nice.
And I just think that there's a special connection between the French and the Irish. That is that the common hatred of the Brits, I think.
Yes.
But I think there's the whole... So she had a very strong accent.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one thing that I remembered in hindsight, which is for a whole year you had a whole class of French students walking around with a French Cork accent when they spoke English.
That's funny.
And it's interesting to think of, like, we didn't even think of it as an accent.
Yeah, it's quite sort of sing-songy. I mean, I don't think my mum has an accent, but English friends will say that she does.
Yeah.
But I don't really notice.
You have a lovely accent, Annie.
Do you think?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, thank you.
You've got I've been listening to the pod and it's very pleasant and relaxing.
Oh, that's nice.
Do you do any voiceover?
No, and I would love to. So if you can help with that.
Oh yes, absolutely. I'm sure we can
Yeah, I don't know why.
You would be great. Can you think of a slogan?
Celia says I'll be great.
Yeah, that was something so great. Like that was so great.
Do you do voiceover?
No, but again, I would love to.
Yeah.
I often think that I'm realizing, I'm coming around to the fact that I have an accent, which for the longest time I kept denying. If someone told me I had an accent, I would be like, I think you're mistaken. This is a perfect British accent that you're hearing.
Well, it changes whether or not you have an accent, doesn't it? Depending on where you live.
I know. I think I would love to have a like, if I had to pick an accent, I love sort of like stronger accents.
Yeah.
As well, I think they're very charming. Actually,
I love the Scouse accent.
Oh, me too. It's and you like football, don't you?
I do. So, yes. So it makes sense.
So it makes sense, doesn't it, when you think about it?
Yeah. Do you watch football?
No, but I would love to. I really want to start playing football because...
Oh, yeah. You should play comedians football on a Tuesday.
I've been offered it, but I think I would bring the whole team down in a... to be frank, but I'm very... I've never done any team sports growing up because I had a condition that kept me from exercising for maybe 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And so I was always... I wasn't playing with the other kids at school, and I was I think that's kind of how I started looking into comedy.
Yeah.
But I've always kind of wanted to be in a team, and I think that that's really good as training for later.
Yeah, it's very fun, and also in terms of exercise it makes it way more enjoyable, I find, because you don't notice you're doing it, you're just sort of playing a game.
Yeah. Do you do it every week, do you?
Yeah, I play football most weeks, and I play netball. Netball tonight, actually. We're in the final, Celia.
Oh, congratulations. Are you excited?
I'm quite excited. The team we're playing are very good, and they're made up of Aussies who are, without wanting to stereotype, very good and tall.
Yeah.
But we have beat them before.
You have?
Yeah.
Where is the final?
Highbury.
Yeah,
as in a primary school in Highbury, not the old Arsenal.
Are you playing
stadium?
Against children who are very tall?
Very tall 9-year-old Australians. Very tall. I went to visit my brother in Australia last year, and I went to play football with him, and we were in the park, and I genuinely thought it was an adult rugby team from afar, and they were kids. They're so big over there. It's crazy. Have you been?
No, but I would absolutely love to. Actually, I think you might enjoy this. For a total of 2 gigs, which I don't do it anymore, I had a bit of stand-up where I told the audience that I was prepping for the Melbourne Comedy Festival, but it turns out that on the way here, I didn't get it. So if that's okay, I'd like to still do the act.
That's funny.
And then we'll just keep referencing Melbourne things.
Yeah.
But that's one of my dreams, personally, is to do the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
It's just everyone has such a nice time there, and I am a slut for good accommodations.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I've not been to Melbourne, but I've been to Sydney.
Oh, did you like it?
Yeah, I loved it.
Did you do gigs over there?
Yeah, I did a couple of gigs at the Comedy Store and Enmore Theatre and somewhere else that I can't remember the name of. Yeah, it was very fun and just beautiful, like swimming in the sea every day. It's a good quality of life.
It is. I think there's... I often think of, like, you know... And every time it's such a cliche thing to say, but I'm always so much happier when I'm by the sea.
Mm. My grandparents lived in Redruth. Do you know?
I think I have been to Redruth. I'm just going to check.
Not far from Truro.
I've been to Cornwall for the first time this Christmas.
Oh.
And I've been past Redruth.
Nice.
And I loved it so much.
Yeah, it's better in the summer, I would say. Why did you go there at Christmas? Did you spend Christmas by yourself?
No.
I saw you post something about having like a...
Some time away.
Yeah.
So what happened is I did the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this year, and then went straight into gigging.
Mm-hmm.
So didn't have any time off whatsoever, which I'm you know, very grateful for the work. But I think I had I was coming close to having a big burnout / breakdown. So I decided that I would, you know, going home at Christmas time is very expensive.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily celebrate it as a big thing in my family.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom very much understood that I was not coming home this Christmas, but that I would see her in the new year.
Yeah.
And I just kind of, you know, my friend Tamsin Kelly, who's a comedian, a Britain comedian, one of my closest friends, was going home for Christmas. She's from Penzance. And
oh, nice.
I decided that I would book myself an Airbnb for five nights, 6 days, and just basically spend as much time by myself as I could, but to add a bit of cheery element to it, spend Christmas Day with her family.
Oh, that's lovely.
And again, it's like a thing about friendship that we don't, like, I was thinking about the fact that you meet your partner's parents, but you don't have to meet your friend's parents.
Yeah, it's weird that after, basically, your school friends meet your parents.
Yeah.
But as soon as you make friends as an adult, there's less interactions with the... I love meeting adult friends' parents.
Me too.
And suddenly you're like, oh, everything about your personality makes sense.
Yeah, I think I worded it in a thing of, like, it's like meeting the footnotes of their personality.
Yeah.
It's, I find it very satisfying. You know, you see, like, and because they look like them as well a lot of the time. So you kind of feel like you're jumping into the future. And I think Christmas Day was wonderful. We got very drunk with her nan. And it was probably one of my favorite Christmases ever, was like being with her family and then going home and having myself a special cheesecake in the Airbnb. And then
what flavor?
Ooh, are you ready? Biscoff and caramel, which is, I know, it's I mean, I keep bringing it to everybody as being the best cheesecake I've ever had, which is just a co-op Biscoff and caramel cheesecake.
Biscoff is good. What did we do before Biscoff?
I have to pretend and tell my, like, I basically gaslight myself into thinking it doesn't exist because it would ruin my life.
Do you buy the jars of it?
No, especially for that reason. I basically tell myself it's not a thing.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I'll just never leave my house.
Yeah, dangerous.
Dangerous.
Like chocolate spread.
Oh my God, yes.
You can't buy stuff like that, though.
No, you otherwise, can't.
It's just... Every day can't be chocolate spread.
What do you have for breakfast, Annie?
It varies depending on how sort of disciplined I'm feeling.
Yeah.
I went through a phase of doing like muesli, koyo, blueberries, and all the stuff you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But in the winter, it's just hard to avoid Marmite on toast.
I'm recently getting into Marmite, actually.
Oh, really?
Marmite on toast. What type of bread are we thinking?
Brown sourdough.
Welcome to Off Menu, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Brown sourdough is my
lovely stuff.
Yeah. What would your breakfast of choice be?
Same, it changes. My favourite breakfast in the whole world is shakshuka.
Okay, I'm not an egg person, so I can't relate, but I know they're very popular.
What would you like instead of an egg?
Chocolate croissant?
Yeah, I put a chocolate croissant.
Pain au chocolat?
I impressed. I was so impressed. Thank you. That really took me back home, actually. I think so I want a shakshuka, and then actually, which is not something I do every day, but I enjoy a dessert after breakfast. So like having a sweet breakfast after a savoury breakfast.
Is that a French thing, or is that just a Celia thing?
I think I'm going to hide behind the palette of French thing, but not being 100%.
Remember, you're representing all of France on this podcast.
Yes, bonjour everybody. I hope Macron is listening. I've made my drawing quite messy.
Quick fire round. Portrait or landscape?
Portrait.
Hockney or Cézanne?
Hockney or Cézanne? Hockney.
Picasso or Pissarro?
I'd have to say Picasso. I know he's a bad man.
Can you separate the art from the artist?
I can to a degree. I think there's an element of, you know, I enjoy seeing someone's work, and if it's beautiful and they turned out to be a bad person, I think I can, to an extent.
Paris or Birmingham?
Paris.
Running or swimming?
Oh, cycling.
Louvre or Pompidou?
That was beautiful.
I'm really trying my hardest.
I really enjoy that. I still haven't been to Pompidou.
Oh, really?
No, so it has to be Louvre. I really enjoy it there.
Mona Lisa or Girl with a Pearl Earring?
Girl with a Pearl Earring. I think she's... so striking. And Mona Lisa, I've seen it so much that it's become like white noise to me. I don't hear it or don't see it.
It's behind too much glass as well.
I know.
Tortured artist or rational waiter?
I'd have to say tortured artist. I'm very sorry. I mean, I am French.
Spaghetti or linguine?
Linguine, all day long.
Talk about or think about art?
Talk about or think about? Think about.
Looking at a painting close up or far away?
Far away.
Private view or view of privates?
Private view.
Painting from life, landscape or still life?
Life.
Art or music?
Music.
Art or books?
Art.
Jokes or drawing?
Oh, no. Jokes in drawings.
Very nice. That's the end of the quickfire.
I enjoyed that.
Do you own any art?
I do.
What you got?
So they're not originals, obviously. But I really enjoy going to little markets in Paris and buying, you know, those little postcards of paintings with paintings on them. Which ones do I own? Oh, God, I've got a picture of them, but I wouldn't know the name of them. So I can show you them.
Yeah.
And then you probably will know which ones they are.
I remember going on a school trip to Paris and we'd all buy those, like... pictures of the Moulin Rouge, like the vintage postcards and stuff. We thought we were very cool.
I'm all in for these things, you know. I think I love a bit of cheese, I think.
Yeah.
Like, there's my favourite type of art to have in my house are very colourful pieces.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy a bit of chaos, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy when things don't quite go together and that makes me very happy inside, I think. But I'm going to show you the ones that I have. And you might... The picture you'll see is a picture of one of my walls of my bedroom that I'm moving out of that is covered in mold, and I am moving out for that reason.
Oh, really?
So that's before I cleaned it. But let's just focus on the art. Just forget about the mold.
I think I finished my drawing. How's yours?
I think I finished mine as well, actually.
Great.
Have
you signed it?
Ooh, I'll sign it here. I'm going to put a little heart on it. It's very messy. I've really tried to impress you, actually, with the messiness.
Yeah, I've tried to impress you as well.
Do you want to see the drawing
room? I want to see the picture you on your phone of the... Yeah. Is it the mould? Not the mould, the art. That's the focus. Ooh!
So I like all of these. I also love Japanese art, so I've got a lot of that around the house.
Yeah, beautiful. Is that a Picasso face?
It is, I think. And there's my background of my phone is one of Picasso's landscapes.
Oh, cool. You've got a Van Gogh in there as well.
Yes.
Beautiful. That mould, I have to say, looks bad.
Yeah.
Black mould.
Yes, I cleaned it and I'm moving out.
Yeah. Is that Matisse?
No. I think it is. Actually, one of my... I don't know if you asked the question about the favourite artists and stuff.
No, I don't think I did.
One of my favourite artists is Magritte.
Ah, yes.
I love the... like, if I had to think of my favourite painting, maybe not my favourite, but the one I think about the most is the one with the... You know, the loads of men in buildings? What's that called?
I can't remember.
I think I screenshotted it because I wanted to impress you. Golconda, this one.
Yeah, that's really cool. It looks like it's raining men.
Yeah, I think about that painting a lot. And like, in terms of messiness, like that sort of stuff I really like as well.
Really sort of loose drawings and yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And I also love a Birmingham artist called this Tap Vision and Fucker Wolf. I love.
I know Tap Vision from, I think Joe Lycett recommended them as well.
Very amazing.
Cool. Should we show each other our work?
Yeah.
All right, let's swap.
Three,
two, one.
I loved it.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. I love the pen marks that you've done. It looks so, it's like very loose but also minimal.
Thank you.
You really get the sense that guy is falling into the boiling hot pan of spaghetti.
So it's a bit messier than I usually do, and I've really enjoyed the process of getting my hands dirty on the...
Yeah, with the charcoal.
Yeah.
It looks really cool. And you've also nailed the half-cooked pasta and half-uncooked pasta.
Thank you.
With the straight lines and the wiggly lines.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you so much.
That's great.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Should I describe yours? Because I
Go
love
then.
It. What you've done so well, first of all, the Lady and the Tramp element to it is very cinematic.
Thank you.
I really enjoy the camera behind one of them.
Yes, yeah. Bit of perspective.
Yeah, bit of perspective. I love the man that you've done.
Oh, thank you.
He's quite hench, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he'd need to be, I guess, to get himself up all those buildings.
He would have,
yeah. I see
I really love actually the last minute element of colour.
Ah, lovely.
What a plus.
Chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss. I think that is a parsley on top of the you know, the
top
pasta.
It, yeah.
It looks amazing. I enjoy that the man is looking really unconcerned. That's that reminds me a bit of you know, those really surrealist paintings. What's the guy that does the clocks that are...
Oh, yeah, Dali.
Dali, yeah.
Yeah.
Where everything is sort of normal and strange. Like, it's strange that it's so normal, that he's so normal going into
it. Yeah,
yeah. I really enjoyed that. I love this little guy.
Yeah, I struggled a bit with the dog face.
That's my favourite guy, I think, in the whole
thing. A mixture of emotions going on in his face.
Yes. And I mean, the text... is fantastic.
Thank
garçon,
you.
Garçon, garçon, there's a man in my spaghetti. I enjoy that.
I like your just uh-oh in capital letters.
Mm-hmm.
It says so much in so few words.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant.
Thank you, Celia. Thank you, Annie.
End up by getting your name wrong. That was really fun. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed the episode. If you want to see our artworks from this week, then follow us on social media at Secret Art Pod. Celia is on social media, AB Celia. That's her Twitter handle and her Instagram handle. I'm on social media, of course I am. My Twitter account is at Annie McTweet, and I'm on Instagram at McGrath.Annie and at McGrath.Art for my art. Because I do art, have I mentioned that? I am selling some paintings, so go on my website if you want to see what's for sale, amcgrath.art. And if you enjoyed today's episode, then why not give us a nice review? 5 stars and some lovely words would not go amiss. See you next time. Goodbye. Secret Artists is a Turtle Canyon comedy production for Acast. Music by Alistair Clayton. Quickfire Round music by Steve Dunn.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.